time for the word. But before the word comes, you know, we have a very powerful testimony. Amen. A very powerful testimony. Our brother Isaac wants to give a testimony. Isaac, come forward. Amen. Put your hands together for the love of his life. Amen. Wow. Wow. Amen. All right. I just want to stand beside him for support. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I just want to tell the Almighty God, thank you for sparing my life this day, you know, to be among the living. I was on my way going to work at Slauson Station, and I got stabbed by two Mexicans. Stabbed me in my heart and my whole stomach 5 times and in my hand. It's just by the grace of God I'm living. Because I was lying down on the ground with my intestine out, asking the EMT if I'm gonna make it. And he kept telling me, say, yes, you are, yes, you are. And I was just, at that time, I wasn't thinking on nothing, you know. Just, it's a 98% chance, the doctor told me that I could have died. 98% chance. And I'm just happy to be alive. I'm ready. I'm happy. My hand is, I cannot work for a year. It's cut up very bad. But God have a plan for me, you know, for me to be here. So I just want to ask him, what's my calling? What does he have for me to do? Because I'm still living. I'm still living.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Wow. Yeah. It's a blessing. Amen. Okay. What do we do first? We pray, right? Okay. So let us pray. Father, we are so grateful that you kept us alive and that you brought us back together as a family again. We thank you so much for your covering and blessing over us. We thank you for another opportunity to hear the word of God. We thank you, the devil is a liar. And we thank you, O God, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, your spirit will raise a standard against him. And we thank you, Lord, for your blessing upon today's service, upon the preaching and teaching of the word of God. We thank you for saving Isaac's life. And thank you for your blessing on him and for your plan and purpose for his life. We're grateful to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we thank God for today, and I'm glad to be back home and here. Amen. I was gone for a little bit, just 2 Sundays in Ghana, and yeah, it felt like a long time. Yes, yeah, but it's good to be back. Amen. And since I've been back, I realize we have a new president. Amen. Now, one of the things we need to do as Christians is to accept whoever the Lord allows to lead us. Do you see what I'm saying? The Bible says there is no authority but of God. Amen. Which means that people cannot ascend upwards and exert authority over others if God has not allowed them. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, maybe I should share that verse with you as a starting point. Today is short sermon Sunday, all right? So I have already started. Now, I'm told that we have to leave this place by 1 o'clock today. So I intend for us to be done and packed out by 1. So help me watch the time, okay? All right. But Romans chapter 13 and verse 1 is what I was going to share with you briefly before I get into the message for today. Now, I also want to announce that this Thursday, right, is Thanksgiving, right? So this Thursday is our Thanksgiving dinner outreach right here in this hall. Is that correct? It's this hall, right? So everyone is invited. In fact, I just invited some people outside. I just saw them walking across, and I just invited them. So they say they'll come. I hope they make it. But listen, I want you to invite somebody and bring them, and bring them to our Thanksgiving dinner. It will be a great opportunity for people who don't know God to get to know Him. Amen. Amen. And also for people just to be grateful for life. Hallelujah. Amen. See, Isaac's testimony ought to speak a lot to all of us, you know, because he was just doing what everybody does, which is just a regular person closed from work, I think, right? And he was going to work, you know. How many of you have been to work this week? Yeah, so he wasn't doing anything. He wasn't like at a nightclub or at a bar or someplace like that for you to start imagining all sorts of things, but just regular life, you know. And then he runs into these guys who really meant to take out his life. You know, I'm told they stabbed him in the chest, right? They went for the heart, and they didn't get it by the grace of God, you know. And he said he went to the hospital with his intestines in his hands, you know, about an 8-inch, you know, gash right here. I mean, that is something, isn't it? But we thank God for everything. Amen. And so, if you're alive, you shouldn't take it for granted. You shouldn't assume that you are entitled to living. You see, it's a kind of arrogance that you can assume and that you can have just from getting used to being alive. You see, when you get used to something, you kind of feel like you're entitled to it. You get it? Yeah. That is why even when demons leave people, they go around looking for a place. And when they can't find a place, they say, I'm returning to my house. Can you imagine that? Just by virtue of living there for a while, they have the audacity to call it their house. Do you see? But your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not for any demons to live there. Hallelujah. But sometimes we behave that way. We behave like we're entitled to a life. We're entitled to a good and happy marriage. We're entitled to a job. We're entitled to good health. We're just entitled to everything. You know, we get upset. You start your car, it won't start, and you're upset. Meanwhile, you haven't even serviced it in a long time. But you just feel like you're entitled to everything just working around you. And so your sense of gratitude is gone. But I think that Thanksgiving is a good opportunity to bring it back. Amen. And so everybody, I really want everyone to take it real seriously. And Paul made some flyers that we can have after church. Make sure you can get a few of them. And then invite somebody. Just say, come join us. Give thanks to God. And speak to them. You know, don't just throw a flyer at someone. But if they give you a minute or two, speak to them and help them to appreciate the need to be grateful. Hallelujah. And I think it'll be a blessing. Amen. Right. So that's for this Thursday. And then next Sunday, we have a special guest minister. Yes. He will be the first one right here in our church, in this hall, I mean. Okay? His name is Bishop Eddie Fabian. And he's a great, great, great prophet, great anointed prophet of God. And next Sunday, something is going to change in your life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. See, I've been preaching to you for some time. Anything that has not changed. Today when you go home, tell that thing that next Sunday is your last Sunday. That is your last day. Because power is coming into the church. Hallelujah. And Bishop Eddie Fabian is really anointed. He has what we call turning point services. And many points have turned in many different lives since he started having those services. And I look forward to next Sunday's service with him. Amen. So again, this Thursday, you can't miss the service. You have to come. You have to bring someone along. And next Sunday also, you can't miss the service. It is an appointment for your destiny. I promise you, something is going to change in your life. Amen. And so I want you to make sure you're here next Sunday also. And that will be a blessing to you. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. I wanted to share with you, the Bible says, let every soul, Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Are we there? Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Amen. Did you see that? Says the powers. Do you have the verse that says authority? If you bring maybe the New Living Translation or New King James Version will say there is no authority but of God. But anyway, I think you understand power to mean authority, isn't it? Okay, so let's read it. It says there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Hallelujah. You see, I'm helping you to get over, especially those of you who are sort of disappointed and living in anxiety. Do you understand? You have to learn to live at peace and learn to live under God's government, amen, not the government of a person. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? You have to let your life be determined by God. The outcome of things in your life must be determined by God, not by man. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen? Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? This is very important. And so if you can grasp that, you will understand that it does not matter who is in power, that you can still live a meaningful life by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. Now, it says every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. So voted by man, but established by God. Do you understand? The next verse, verse 2 says, verse 2 quickly please. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. You see, this is why you need to watch your reaction. Do you understand? Because in pushing against it, you're pushing against what God has done. You get it? And it says, and those who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. Verse 3, right? Verse 3. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Right? Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good and you will have praise from the same. Amen. You see, one of the things you need to understand is that God appoints different rulers to address different evils. That's what he's saying. He said they are not a terror of, they don't cause fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you understand? So different people and different leaders have different strengths and different leanings that address different evils. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So there's more than one evil in the world. There are so many evils, and both parties have evils in them. Do you understand? All the parties, all the leaders, they all have evils because we are all just flawed human beings who have a lot of sins and a lot of problems. Do you understand? So depending on who comes to power, into power, some particular evil is emphasized and encouraged. And sometimes to sort of curb and put a pause on the development of one evil, God has to pause this one a bit and then bring this other one. Do you understand? That has this strength. You see, it has this strength, but also goes with that other evil. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when you vote for this person or this person, it's not like you're getting an angel and the devil. That's not what you're getting. You're just getting two people who both have good parts and have parts that also do not favor other aspects of life, which must be of concern to you as well. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So don't worry about these things. Just think about what God's purpose is. Because the Bible says God uses rulers to check certain evils. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So I don't know what evil God is bringing this one to check. But I'm sure it's going to be the King James says, a terror to evil. So he's going to also fight some kind of evil. But you will find out that by the time he finishes fighting that, something has also developed. Listen, by the time Solomon finished building a magnificent temple for God, which is actually part of history today, by the time he finished that, you know, his love life had also brought in a whole lot of foreign gods. Do you see what I'm saying? Because Solomon liked women, and he liked especially, you know, foreign women. He had a taste for foreign people. You get it? Yeah. I mean, the way his taste was set up, it sort of went, I mean, it kind of went for foreign people. Now, these foreign women, when they were coming into Solomon's country to come and marry him, they brought their private gods. Do you see what I'm saying? So even though he built a magnificent temple, by the time he finished, he had provided a great place for people to worship God and so on. But then he had also introduced all these evils and given people so many alternative gods also. do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. But the temple he built is key. And that made a greater contribution than the evils that were associated with having Solomon. I think you understand what I'm saying. Yeah. So all the kings, when you read the Bible, you see all the kings, they did good, but they also had problems. Because it's just human beings. What can you expect? It's not a church. The nation is not a church. Do you understand? It's human beings, mostly unbelievers. You know, so you should not. It says, do what is good. Next verse, verse 4. Verse 4 says, very quickly, what is in verse 4? Verse 4. For it is a minister of God to you for good. Wow. He's a leader is a minister of God. A minister means a servant. It means someone that God uses. Wow. Do you understand? Yeah, so I'm a minister because I'm a servant of God. I'm someone that God uses to accomplish things. Do you see what I'm saying? And he's saying that leaders and powers and authority, including your boss, they are ministers of God to you for what? Good. But if you do what is evil, then be afraid. For he does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. You know? And then the next verse 5 says, therefore it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Amen. So that's what I have to say about who we have for president. Our job is to pray for the leaders. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, he says, chapter 4, it says that we must pray. He says, I exhort therefore, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, I exhort therefore that prayers and supplications, isn't it? First of all, I urge that entreaties, can you change the version please? I'm not enjoying it. You give us the King James. We like, if be thou though thou art. I think, see, the least is that is poetic, isn't it? All right. Now it says, now the Spirit, no, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Can you see that? Verse 2. For kings and for all that are in authority. Did you see that? It says, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Hallelujah. So now what it means is that Your quiet and peaceable living does not depend so much on who is in power as it depends on your prayer for that person. Can you see that? Look at it. Do you see that verse 1 does not say that I exhort therefore that first of all votes be cast for Democrats or cast for Republicans. Eh? And then verse 2. And for all that are in authority, all Republicans or Democrats in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Can you see that your quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty does not depend on Republicans or Democrats? Do you see that? But it depends on your prayers for the Republicans or Democrats in power. Now, that's what we don't do. Do you understand? That's not what we don't do. What we do is a lot of talking and a lot of criticizing of Republicans and Democrats. Do you understand? But never any prayers for them. And so our quiet and peaceable lives are absent and they are missing. And we think it's because it's a Democrat in power or because it's a Republican in power. But that's not what it is. What is missing is our prayer for kings and all who are in authority. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that we may live a quiet and peaceable life. God wants you to live a quiet and peaceable life that allows you to live a godly life and that allows you to live an honest life. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that depends more on your prayers than it depends on who is in power. Can I have an amen? Amen. So I really want to encourage all of you to pray for the leadership of the country. Amen. If you're going to live here, then you must pray for them. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. If it's your plan to live here, then you must pray for them. Amen. Because their decisions affect you. Amen. Their decisions, their choices and their policies and so on will affect your quiet and peaceable living. Hallelujah. But I know that we are on God's time. We are, our lives are in His hands. We are on God's plan and God's purpose. And what God has determined is what will be. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you to see yourself more as a child of God whose life is driven more by the plan and purpose of God than anything else. Can I have an amen? Amen. Oh, right. So that is the end of my, my exhortation. Amen. All right. Now, I want to continue sharing with you from Lycos. Amen. And, I want to go on to share with you for just a few minutes before we bring the service to a close. Like I said, today is Short Sermon Sunday. Right. Short Sermon Sunday. If you don't have your book, you can borrow one. Pastor Charles can lend you one. And he wants it back when the service is over because he says he has given you one already. Okay. So, but I think you should bring your book. Why not? Why don't you bring your books? Everybody has one. You must bring it. Amen. Ask your neighbor, why didn't you bring your book? What did they say? Wow. Amen. Okay. So I am sharing with you today. So chapter 7, how to share the burden with lay people. I think we already understand that lay people is the term we use to describe ordinary people, isn't it? Yeah. Everyday people, isn't it? Regular people, like who? Like you, isn't it? Ordinary people, people without skills in ministry, people who don't have ministry for a profession, isn't it? Regular, everyday, ordinary, common, average, usual type of people, isn't it? Yeah. Right. So how to share the burden with lay people means that we're talking about sharing the burden with ordinary people. Amen. Now, What burden are we talking about? We are talking about the burden of looking after God's people. Amen. We're talking about the burden of looking after God's people. And looking after God's people is a burden because people are complex. Yeah, people are complex. I mean, you just don't think about people, just think about you. You know, think about you. And you realize that even you can't figure yourself out sometimes. Sometimes even you don't know what is wrong with you. Do you understand? Yeah. One time I was counseling somebody and I was asking her. She had asked to see me. And then when I made the time to see her, she wouldn't talk. So I was just saying that you are asking to see me. Now I'm asking what is wrong. And she says nothing. She won't talk, you know. And I realize it is because people are complex. Do you understand? And then even sometimes the way we are, even when we complain about something and then we are shown the way out, we realize that we love the problem more than we love a way out of the problem. How many have realized we are like that? Honestly, honestly. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you are addicted to the problem. You see that a way out of it actually looks more like the enemy rather than the problem, you know. So people are complex and people are difficult to handle. And that is why the looking after God's people can be a burden. Hallelujah. But that burden can be shared. Amen.
Amen.
That burden can be shared not by other pastors, but by regular, ordinary, everyday people.
Amen.
Amen. God believes that the burden of his work can be shared with ordinary people. Ordinary people can help to lead God's children. Hallelujah. So in Numbers chapter 11, we see an example of how the burden was shared. Amen. We see an example of how the burden was shared. Now, if you want to appreciate this chapter, let's just go start reading Numbers chapter 11. And maybe we just start from verse 1. Numbers chapter 11 and from verse 1. Numbers chapter 11 and from verse 1. Have you found Numbers chapter 11?
Yeah.
Okay, now verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Can you see that?
Yeah.
When the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were at the in the uttermost parts of the camp. Hallelujah. Now, this verse is saying that God doesn't like people who complain. Or rather, God doesn't like people to complain. How's that?
Yeah.
I think that sounds better than the other one,
yeah.
Isn't it? God doesn't want people to complain. Now, these people were complaining. I mean, you should see what they were complaining about. They were complaining about onions and leeks and garlic and things like that. And there are some people who just can't have it good enough. Do you understand? We just can't have it good enough. But we need to learn to be grateful. Can I have an amen? We need to learn to be grateful. You see, instead of being focused on what is not working, why don't you think about all that is working? Are you getting what I'm saying? This is the trap that Adam and Eve fell in. And that's what got them kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And I mean, I'm sure you must have figured it out by now that the Garden of Eden was not a bad place. You get it? To be taken and placed in a garden that has already been planted with trees and fruits and all kinds of things that are already growing in that place is a blessing. That's what everybody still wants. Everybody is looking for a job where everything is given, a job that has benefits and salary and this and that and this. That's what everybody is looking for. And Adam had that kind of a job. Hallelujah. Then the devil comes into the garden and he says, let's forget about everything that God says you can eat. Let's talk about the one thing he says you can't eat. Let's make that the subject. Let's put that on center stage. Let's make that the main thing we discuss. Right now, everything that is working, because God told Adam, you can have everything in this place except this. He said, you can have everything. You can have everything. Everything. Think of all the people in church today as the trees and fruits in the Garden of Eden. And God said, you can have all of these except this. Because that's exactly what's going on here. I'm the preacher. I get to choose first. All right. So you can have any one of them. Just look around. Just look. Just have any one of them. And there are some of them who are like truly, truly free. There are others who take some negotiations. But there are some of them, they are really free. I mean, yeah. You see, and God says you can have all of this. Then the devil, remember, it is the devil. It's not your mind. It is the devil. It is the devil who comes in and says, forget about all of this. Why doesn't God want you to have this? Do you understand? He says, what does this reveal about God? Why is God saying you shouldn't have this? It's because God knows that when you eat it, you become wise like him. I mean, instead of starting a discussion about what does this being withheld from you reveal about God? What about trying to answer, what about what does being allowed to have all this reveal about God? Can you understand what I'm saying? What does being allowed to have all of this reveal about God? If we were to start talking about that, we will not finish that conversation. But the devil says, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about not being allowed to have this one. What does that reveal about God? That is the foundation of all ingratitude. The foundation of ingratitude is a focus on what we are not or have not been allowed to have, or what has been withheld from us. In spite of everything else that is working, the one thing that's not working, the discussion and the obsession with what is not working, is what plays us into the hands of the enemy. Are you getting what I'm saying? So these people were living in Egypt, and they had been moved out of Egypt and had been brought out of Egypt. And even that is a blessing. To be moved out of Egypt is a blessing, because the Bible says these guys were crying all the time in Egypt. The Bible says they had taskmasters. They had taskmasters. I mean, when Pharaoh was told that he should let these people go, he just went back and said, you know, these guys, they are idle. That is the reason why they want to go to church. Because the people said, allow us to, Frank, it's okay, you can stop recording. Right? He said that, these people, they have a lot of time on their hands. That is the reason why they want to go to church. They say we should allow them to go and worship their God. So Pharaoh doubled their work. Before, they used to do a certain amount of work in a certain amount of time, and the brick and the mortar and everything was given to them, and they would just build. But now, he said, now we are going to set them back. In the same amount of time, they now have to make the brick themselves and the mortar as well as build. Do you see? Yeah. Wickedness. That was their lot when they lived in Egypt. And then God graciously moved them out of Egypt. But now, as they moved out of Egypt, then they, in transition to the promised land, were encountering some difficulties or some subsidies or some things like that. Because sometimes as God is transitioning you from one place to another, you know, every transition is inconvenient. Have you tried moving house?
Hey.
Yeah. You see, that little space between where you used to live and getting to where you live, you can't have a normal life. You can't have a normal life. You don't know where your cutlery is. You have to get some paper cups and get some paper plates. You have to use plastic forks. You have to use plastic spoons. It's a feature of transition. And when God is transitioning people from where they are to where he has ordained for them to be, they cannot expect to have life as usual. Does it make sense what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. You cannot expect things to be as it's always been. Because you're not in your home. You're not in the old place. Neither are you in the new place. Do you understand? You are in transition and you are going to the new place. So you must expect some inconvenience. Expect to eat some things you don't normally eat. Expect to sleep in some places where you don't normally sleep. I remember when Brother Lord moved to his house and I went over there, there was nothing in the living room. We came to dedicate the apartment, isn't it? And we sat on the floor. Do you understand? No, you can't complain about that. You can't be one of those people who went to dedicate his house and then you step out of the house and you say, you know something, these guys, they really made us suffer. Lord and Wendy, they really made us suffer. They made us sit on the floor. What did you expect? But what would be worse if that complaint came from they themselves? Do you understand? When they understand how that situation has been created, that it is actually in the pursuit of bigger space, a better place, that is exactly what puts you into that inconvenience. As you try to leave where you are and begin to approach where God has ordained for you, you're going to find out that you're going to have to endure some kind of inconvenience. That is what these people could not stand. The Bible says they complained and they complained and they complained and they complained about food. I mean, they were eating food from heaven. Yeah, angels would cook the food and serve it by the morning. It was called manna and it was all over the place and they were supposed to just go out and gather it. And now as they ate the thing, they started to complain. They said that we miss onions and garlic and all these things that we used to have in Egypt. Really? When you were in Egypt, did you even notice the onions and the garlic? They didn't even notice that those things were there in Egypt because the other issues of Egypt caused them so much more pain that they could not even notice the things that were enjoyable in Egypt. Now they've come here, God has blessed them. And it's just the nature of people to complain. I think this is a good season to talk about complaining. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. You see somebody who doesn't have a job and then eventually finds a job and then just complains. All you see is what is wrong with the job. That's all you see. You have forgotten those days without a job. You have forgotten those days without the job. You have forgotten what a blessing, what a testimony it was even for you to have the job. But that's what people do. Complain and complain, complain. Hallelujah. Do we still have the verse? Numbers chapter what? 11. Right? And it says that the fire of the Lord, the anger of the Lord was kindled, you see. So God was upset with them. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were at the utmost parts of the camp. That's those who are sitting at the edges, at the back. That's why you try not to sit at the back at the church. In case one day... you'll be safe in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. Means your pastor's prayers are important.
Wow.
Isn't it? Yeah. And he called the name of the place Taberah because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lasting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? we remember the fish we did eat in Egypt freely. Next time you hear somebody complaining, you must note that one of the features of every complaint is exaggeration. Anytime you hear someone complaining about something, just I give you permission to freely discount it by 50% to get the true value of what they are saying. Wow. Yeah. You, anytime somebody is complaining about anything, you apply this discount card. Okay. Just apply this discount code. It's permanent. It has no expiry date. It's always good. Just take what they are saying and discount it by 50%. Wow. Hallelujah. They said they were eating fish freely, and the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all. Huh? Beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed and the color thereof as the color of dalium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills and beat it in mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. Can you imagine that? This is what the people are complaining about. The taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. So verse 10, then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. Hey! And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses was also displeased. Listen, anytime you complain, just remember that God is not happy with what you're doing. Can I have an amen? God is not happy. Think about it. You are complaining that your hair is messed up. That your hair is breaking. Some people don't have hair at all. Do you understand? Yeah. Your hair grows and breaks. Some people's hair does not grow at all. It stopped growing. It's just stopped growing. Do you see what I'm saying? You're just too used to having good things. That when it changes a little bit. Do you see? You just begin to act up. Hallelujah. Amen. But you will not be ungrateful in the name of Jesus. Are you enjoying this chapter? It's amazing, isn't it? It says, the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses was also displeased. And now Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight? That thou layest the burden of all these people on me. Moses was asking the Lord, what have I done to deserve this burden of looking after these people, complaining people? Do you see? And Moses said unto the Lord, he said in verse 12, have I conceived all these people? You see, behold, have I begotten them? That thou should say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the sucking child unto the land where which thou swearest unto their fathers. Whence should I have flesh to give to all these people? For they weep unto me saying, give us flesh that we may eat. You know, yeah. I am not able to bear all these people alone. Can you see that? Everybody read verse 14 with me. 1, 2, 3, go. I am not able to bear all these people alone because it is too heavy with me. Hallelujah. So Moses said, I cannot bear these people alone, or these people, because it's a group singular, isn't it? Yeah. He said that I cannot bear these people alone because it's too heavy for me. This is the reason why God includes lay people, ordinary people, regular people in the carrying of the burden. Can you see that? And verse 15, he said, if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, then let me not see my wretchedness. Verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. Hallelujah. Amen. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't you clap for God? Hallelujah. Right? So God decided to introduce. God decided to introduce ordinary people and lay people into the work to help to ease the burden of looking after his people. I think you can see that. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So that has not changed. Amen. Amen. The way God plans for his work to be carried out is for lay people to be involved. It's for lay pastors, lay volunteers, regular people, ordinary people, everyday people, people without professional ministerial skills. Do you see what I'm saying? To be developed and to be involved with the work of looking after his people. Amen. Amen. Now, how exactly do lay people, you know, Sam, come back. Okay. Just two of them is enough. Okay. Yeah. Hallelujah. Are you guys with me?
Yeah, we are.
All right. So how exactly are the lay people supposed to help? Do you understand?
Yeah.
That's what this chapter is about. Now, one of the ways lay people can help is to help to deal with ungrateful and forgetful sheep. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
To help to deal with ungrateful and forgetful sheep. Hallelujah. Which is exactly what we are talking about.
Right.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That ordinary people, that means you can help the pastor deal with people who are not grateful. Hallelujah. People who are not grateful. It says there will always be lay people who are very grateful for your ministry. They will love you and appreciate your efforts for them. These people will help to neutralize the presumption that is common in the congregation. Their grateful speeches will neutralize rebellion in the camp. You will notice ungratefulness in people by the way they complain. Moses led the Israelites out of bondage and slavery, and yet they murmured and complained bitterly against him. Aaron even had to make a golden calf to calm them down. If something ever goes wrong, you will be surprised at the reactions of people you have ministered to. Many quickly forget what you have done for them. The things a pastor does are not physically tangible, but spiritual. Many therefore think that the pastor has done nothing for them. Church members can sin against you after you become a blessing to them. Don't be shocked. I won't. The prophet Jeremiah experienced the same thing from his people. He said, shall evil be recompensed for good? Once a pastor told a very disturbing story. He said that he was surprised when one of his church members came to his house one night to assault him. He couldn't believe that this young man, whom he had led to Christ, trained up in the Lord, whose marriage he had blessed and helped through various crises, would attack him in that manner. Dear friend, do not be surprised. Do not expect gratitude from man. Expect your rewards from God. Hezekiah was blessed, but he did not render again, quote and unquote. That means he did not show gratitude for all the blessings he had received. right? 2 Chronicles 32:25, but Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. This is the nature of man. This is the nature of the people God wants us to lead. Hallelujah. Right? So right there you can see that the scripture is showing us that 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1, it says in the last days people will be unthankful. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Do you have that? 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2. It says, now 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, men will be unthankful in the last days, right? This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Hallelujah. Now, this is a characteristic of the times in which we live. People are ungrateful. Hallelujah. Now, what we are saying is that ordinary people like you can help us deal with the ingratitude of people. Amen. By pointing them to the things they need to be looking at. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying? The ordinary church members can help a pastor deal with ungrateful church members. Can I have an amen? You see, when someone has been good to you, anytime someone is good to you, just assume that that person is gaining credits. You open an account, and every good thing somebody does for you, it becomes a credit under that account. Now, when that person being human, do you understand? When that person being human offends you or does something against you that hurts you, you are supposed to set it off against their credit balance. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're supposed to deduct it. You're not supposed to charge them afresh. You see, when I was coming, returning from Ghana, I had to change my flight. So I called Delta. I called up Delta and I said, I can't leave on the day I was originally supposed to come because of something else. So I have to change it for another day. And then the lady quickly came up with a change fee and whatnot. You know, and she was going to charge me a certain amount of money. And then I remembered that I did have a credit with Delta. So I asked her that, but am I not supposed to have some credit with Delta? She said, really? I said, yes. Then she says, let me check. Then she goes to check and she says, yeah. She was actually charging me. She was going to charge me an extra $115. That's what she was going to charge me. $115 to change that ticket. Then she found out that I have a credit of $457. Do you see what I'm saying? $457. And yet, when my $115 came, she was charging me afresh. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's what we do. That is what ungrateful people do. Ungrateful people, when they are hurt by someone, you know, who has been good to them, just issue a fresh charge that stands on its own, requiring the person to pay. Do you get it? But what they are supposed to do is to set it off against what the person has done for them. Do you see? So I said to the woman, you know, I was actually in the process of giving her my credit card information when I remembered the credit. Yeah. So I said, hold on, forget about the credit card. I think you should look inside the thing. I've been good to you. You guys are supposed to have some credit. So she checked and she found out that what I had with them was much more than what I owed them. So that when she even set it off, she still realized that I still have some credit with them. So I said, you wait for me. I'm going to come back. I'm going to come and fly again. And I'm going to come and use the rest of the credit. Yeah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? most of the people who offend us usually have been very good to us. You get it? When your pastor offends you, your pastor is preaching. I mean, the Bible says, in a multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. I mean, when somebody has to speak continuously for 45 minutes, how do you expect everything he says to be perfect? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So the pastor may say something you don't like. Or he may give an example and you may feel like it's you. Do you understand? And when a church is, the smaller a church is, the more likely you are to feel that, no, as for this one, there's no other person like me. You see? And yet it's not true. There are other people just like you. Do you understand? Yeah. And just because it resembles or looks like your problem or your issue doesn't mean it's you. We all live in this one world and our issues are common. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. And so if a pastor upsets you or something like that, upsets you, you're supposed to be able to take the credit. Take all the sermons that have blessed and helped you. Do you understand? Yeah. And then do the math. And then you realize that he still has credit. And it makes forgiveness easier. Does it make sense? Makes forgiveness easier. Same thing with your brothers, with your friends, even with your employer. Do you get it? Yeah, with your employer. Because sometimes an employer can upset you. And he can make you so upset you feel like quitting. And sometimes you want to quit at a bad time when you know he needs you. Because you want him to feel the pain of you going away. Yeah. So when everybody has called off, that's when you turn up your resignation. When you know there's nobody, he has nobody. Yeah. You are leaving and you are leaving in style. You want the whole company to feel your absence. But it's wickedness. It's wickedness. It's wickedness. It's not a good way, you know, to pay back the person through whom you've had money for rent, you've had a car to drive, you've had food to eat, been shopping at Macy's, taking advantage of all the sales and everything. I mean, your whole life has been this person. Maybe that's what you don't realize about an employer. That what they have done for you is sustained you. Do you understand? Yeah, they have sustained you. You get it? And they've been good to you. And yet, because they didn't promote you, or they promoted someone else over you, or they scheduled you to work on Sundays, or some extra time or something like that. Uh-huh. Or you did something good and you didn't get the credit for it. They gave the credit to somebody else. And you are now so upset, you're going to leave the company and you're going to leave at a time that ruins the whole company. Hallelujah. Remember, it's a seed you're sowing. One day you will also be an employer. And may you not reap that seed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So you, the everyday ordinary person, can help the pastor deal with ingratitude by speaking to the person. Say, no, you don't have to quit the church because of this. No, you don't have to stop going to church. You have to remember all the times. Do you remember when he visited you? Do you remember when he came to see you when you're in hospital? Do you remember how he sent some people to see you? Do you remember how he gave you a ride home? Do you remember how he picked up someone and came to pick you also? How he asked some people to give you a ride? How he came to bless your apartment? You have to remember all these things. Do you see what I'm saying? But the thing is that people forget. So you have to remind the person. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding me, Tina? You have to remember to remind Tori. You will remind her, right? Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have to remind Tori. You have to remind Selom. You have to remind Isaac. Do you get it? You have to remind Amma. And Wendy right here. And Maureen. Do you know Maureen? You know Maureen. All right. Do you know Wendy? Okay. And do you know Amma right here? Okay. Okay. So you have to remind them. You have to talk to the person and say, listen, It's not, maybe you don't like it at this time, or maybe you're upset, but you need to remember that this person has been good to you. Hallelujah. That this church has been a blessing to you. That this place has been a good source of encouragement and inspiration to you. Hallelujah. Just to help people, because what these people of Israel needed was someone to remind them. They needed somebody to tell them, you guys need to remember Egypt properly. They needed someone to show them photos, some of the selfies from Egypt. You get it? They needed someone to remind them of how life was in Egypt. Do you get it? Just to remember properly. Hallelujah. May God deliver us all from ingratitude. Amen. Listen, this Thanksgiving, I want you to take some time between now and Thursday and to make for yourself a list of things to be grateful for. Don't just roll yourself through the season, but just think of the things you can be grateful for. Do you understand what I'm saying? And be grateful for them. I mean, be intentionally grateful for all the things you do every day that others have done and did not even get to live just for doing them. Like driving. Do you see what I'm saying? Like driving. Like waking up in the morning. Waking up healthy. Having body parts that work. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, having body parts that work. See, you never appreciate life until you're about to lose it. You see, and that's why Isaac was telling us, he said, I'm just blessed to be alive. Yeah. But you know, Isaac, if he wanted to, could also be complaining. Because you see, you can just move the standard and say that, you know, to start with, why should I even be attacked? Do you see what I'm saying? So that immediately, instead of being grateful for being alive, you see, which is actually the bigger testimony, you begin to complain about, why should I even have wounds? Why should even someone attack me? Why should I even be attacked? What did I do? Then suddenly you don't feel as grateful anymore. You rather feel bitter. Do you understand? You rather feel bitter and you start to, you know, be sad about things, and you start to feel some people. So I've met people before who say that the church has failed me or God has failed me. You see, the person is so bitter and so sour that you feel that God has failed you. Why? Because I was going home from work or going to work and then I was attacked by someone. Why should God allow someone to attack me? Do you see what I'm saying? But the right thing to do is to do what Isaac is doing. Is to start to think about what it could have been. I mean, those guys really meant to take him out. I tell you, they really meant to take him out. And I was even told that the doctors were considering removing your hand. Can you imagine that? God showed up and saved his hand. Doctors remove a lot of hands and things that should not be removed. Do you see? Yeah. But, and they were considering removing his hand because they felt that it was too badly chopped, right? So that it could not heal. But God stepped in.
Amen.
And God gave them wisdom to deal with it. And that's how he gets to have his hand back. Hallelujah. So don't look at what is not working. Look at what is working. A lot of things are working. Can I have an amen? You're alive, you're healthy, you have people who love you, people who care about you, you have a church that is happy. I'm happy to see you every time. I'm really happy to see you. Maybe you may not be so happy to see me, but I am very happy to. So let's go by how I feel about you, not how you feel about me. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, bow your heads, everybody. We're just closing the service in a minute or two. You know, can you just bow your heads, everybody? And I want you to pray and thank God. Think of some of the things that you take for granted. Some of the things you have going for you that you take for granted, that you assume will always be there, that you think you will always have or should always have. Think about your health. Think about your loved ones. Think about your job. Think about your church. Think about your church. That you even have a church to attend, a good church. Think about it. Think about all those things that God has provided for you. You need to be grateful. Instead of being someone who is complaining about the one or two things that are not working, or one or two things that have not yet been fixed or sorted out, a couple of outstanding issues that remain to be addressed in your life. Instead of thinking about those things and being fixated on them, how about thinking about the things that are working? Does it mean anything at all to you that you're healthy today? Does it mean anything at all to you that you woke up this morning? Does it mean anything at all to you that you do have a job? That you work somewhere, someplace that is happy to have you come back on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday? Does it mean anything to you that you have a car to drive? Does it mean anything to you that you have a roof over your head? Does it mean anything to you that you have people in your life who love you? People who care about you? People who even call you when they don't see you in church? Some people even complain about that. They complain about people following up on them, people calling them up, and people asking, are you okay? I mean, we are so spoiled and so ungrateful that even the one who checks up on you is the one that gets into trouble. Think about it. There are some people who would wish that someone would check up on them. Someone would check on them. Someone would call them up. Someone will find out what happened to them. That someone would care enough, even notice their absence somewhere. There are some people who are looking for that. But you are blessed to have that, and you complain. You say, it's too much. Why are they all over me? Why are they in my business? Why are they calling me? Why do they want to know things about me? You have mislabeled your love. You have mislabeled the love of God. You have mislabeled the care that God Himself has provided for you. Now I want you to repent today and say, Lord, I'm sorry. When you tried to care for me, I rather rejected it. But I thank you that you have surrounded me with people who care about me. People who will call me, people who will text me, people who will dare to visit me, people who will care to know things about me. Oh God, help me not to be ungrateful in the name of Jesus. This is Thanksgiving week. It's a week of gratitude. This is a week you must not complain, but rather it's a week to be grateful, to say, Lord, thank you for my salvation. If you were not saved, you would be on your way to hell. Yes, for real. And not only will your eternal destiny be hell, even the life you live today would be very different if you were not saved. Oh God, help us in the name of Jesus. Help us to be grateful, Lord. Yes, thank you for your blessing in the name of Jesus. As we close the service today, I want to pray for you. If you're here and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to be a child of God. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. If that is you, I want to pray for you this morning before we close this service. And right where you're standing, just raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. Is there anybody like that? You want to give your life to Jesus? Number two, Maybe you have given your life to Jesus, but you know that you have not been serious. You've not been a serious Christian. You've not been a committed, a dedicated Christian living your life for Him. And God wants to give you some help today. So if either of those two groups describes you, I want to pray for you. Just raise up your right hand. Is there anybody like that? God bless you. Just keep your hand up. Why don't we say this prayer together? Come to me. Let me pray with you. Come, Isaac, just come to me. Let me pray with you. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Right. I want you to say this prayer with me. Just say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you for dying for me.
I thank you for dying for me.
I rededicate my life to you.
I rededicate my life to you.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
And help me to live for you.
Help me to live for you.
Thank you, Lord, for your blessing.
Thank you, Lord, for your blessings.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now let me pray for you. Isaac, I want to pray for you. Everybody stretch forth your hand towards Isaac and pray for him. Father, thank you for preserving Isaac's life. Only you know the purpose of saving him from such a close call with death. I believe you have a plan and a purpose for Isaac's life, Lord. I pray that this life will truly be yours. Let this life truly belong to you in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, that you will surround him with angels. I pray, Father, that you will reveal to him the love of God in the name of Jesus. I pray for a miraculous healing of his wounds in the name of Jesus. We are grateful that instead of being in mourning, today you have given us a testimony. Instead of being in sorrow and sadness with all sorts of questions on our minds, Lord, today you have brought deliverance, and today you have given us a testimony of what you can do to save your children. I pray, Lord, that you will preserve him. I pray that you order his steps, Lord. Remove him from harm's way in the name of Jesus. Let your covering be upon Isaac, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let your blood surround and speak and intervene and step in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, Isaac, God bless you. Amen. God has kept you alive for a reason. Amen. And I want you to take a decision that you're going to live for him. Okay? Come to church more regularly and decide that you're going to live for God. Because he only has preserved you. And he has a plan for you. Amen. God bless you. You go back to your seat. Listen, I want us to have communion. Starting today, we're going to have communion every Sunday. Amen. Because if communion is what it is, then how much of it do you want? Yeah.